I love my dog. This is Dr. Herbert O'Reilly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with Instant Illumination. I love my dog. Yes, I do. My dog's name is Rex. Rex is a golden retriever. Beautiful dog. Healthy dog. Wonderful dog. Now, as Rex's master, as Rex's director, and I think that's an interesting word, as Rex's director, the director for his life, and I am, because I chose to bring him into my world. I chose to bring him into my environment. I chose to bring him into the confines of my friends and associates. I chose to bring him into the diet that I chose to give him, that I choose to give him. I chose to bring him into my experience, into my house, into my living room, my bedroom, my office, my kitchen, my bathroom, wherever I am, I chose to bring him. Now, what do I expect out of him? Do I expect that he's going to be a fat, pudgy dog because I feed him too much? Because I am always thinking that he wants tidbits and he wants treats? Am I always treating him as though he is a naughty boy or a good boy? Am I treating him as though he minds and behaves? Am I treating him? Do I allow him to get away with not minding and not behaving? Oh, I don't strike him and I don't have to punish him in any way. I just say no. And I say no again and again and again until he gets the idea that that is not an acceptable activity, whatever I say no to. And I say yes much more often. I say, yes, yes, yes. Oh, Rex, you're so wonderful. Oh, Rex, you're so good. Whenever he does something good, I just flood him with happiness and with joy. And he gets to realize that, hey, that's a great way to have things happen. That's a great way to experience things. And so, when I feel that he is getting a little chunky, I reduce the amount of food that he eats. I don't say, oh dear, he'll recognize that he's getting a quarter less food now out of the 4 cups a day. Now he's just getting 3. And he will recognize that and he'll realize that his bowl is a little less full. Perhaps and perhaps not. And perhaps he doesn't really care unless I care. If I am worried that he's getting less, then he will be unhappy that he's getting less because he is my reflection. If I look at him and say, you're so healthy, you're so fantastic, everything's okay, and he steps on a thorn or he steps on a something outside that hurts his foot, and I immediately pick up his foot and yank it out and kiss his foot and all is well. You kiss his foot? Sure. He's my dog. He's perfect. Everything about him is perfect. There's nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with me. I see everything in divine order. I see him healthy and fantastic and glorious. Now, we've had dogs over the years, and some of our dogs, well, all of our dogs, basically, have gotten old and decrepit. They've gotten old and they weren't able to see as well as they did before, and they weren't able to do a lot of things like they did before. And my associates and my family and my friends, they all look at the dog and they say, oh, gee, he can't walk as well as he used to. He can't see it. And I think to myself, my goodness sakes, I just hired a new director in my life. I just hired a new director for the theater of my life. My goodness sakes, I don't think that director is doing too well. That director is seeing imperfection in my world, and that's not what I want. And so I say to my friends and directors, hey, positive, positive. All is in divine order. See him perfect. See him doing everything fantastic. See him behaving. See him coming. Don't you direct him to think that he can do something that is improper and be allowed to do it. Don't you feed him tidbits. I am the only one who feeds him anything. Well, we want to get in the show. Well, then have a dog of your own. If I'm raising my dog, I will feed him whatever he gets. And I will feed him what he does not get. And if anybody gives my dog anything that's without my permission, then they are treating and teaching my dog to get off of his program of perfection. Get off. I'm no longer the director. I'm no longer the director if other people are going to come in and direct my show. So, always, my dog is an exact reflection of who I am. My dog is a reflection of who I am. So long as I remain his sole director, if I allow anyone else to become the director of my dog, then my dog is going to act in other ways. Now, I cannot allow anyone else to take his affection. If he is going to sit by somebody's side, it's going to be my side. Well, gee whiz, you know, you should have a dog that likes everybody. Well, then you get a dog that likes everybody, and I'll have a dog that likes me. I'll have a dog that is my ideal. I'll have a dog that is whole and perfect. I'll have a dog that's in love with life and in love with me, just thinks that having me as their director is the greatest thing on earth. Now, we are taught to think that that's selfish, that we should let everybody else enjoy the dog too and pet him and love him. Well, that's okay. But do not allow yourself to think that the dog wants to be with you. Do not allow yourself to think that the dog wants to be in your world, wants to be in your environment, wants to do with you. That you are now the director of them, that you can tell the dog what to do. You can say, jump over the stick, and it'll jump over the stick. It'll jump over the stick, but not for you. It'll jump over the stick for me, because I am the director, even if I'm not there. And you tell the dog to jump over the stick. And now, the dog doesn't say, why are we doing this stupid stuff, jumping over sticks? The dog says, hey, this is fun. This is fun. I am getting attention. I am getting the love of this person. And this person had better be its director. Now, true, when you leave a dog in a kennel, or you leave a dog with someone else to take care of while you're not present, then that person is the dog's director. But what kind of director is that person for the dog? Does that person change the program that you have established for your dog? If they do, they're not very good to have in motion for you. If they start giving the dog treats, if they start giving the dog more food or different food than you do, then they are not maintaining the program you have established for the dog. When a dog begins to have a little difficulty with his sight, you say, oh, they're having difficulty with his sight. No, you don't. You say, hey, stem cells, get busy there. You're in the dog as much as you're in the people. Now get busy there. And perfect sight, perfect sight, perfect sight. Perfect sight, perfect sight, perfect sight. My Rex is over 4 years old now, and December 4th is his birthday. And so what happens? Every year on December 4th, we add 7 years to his life, we think. Well, so Rex is what? 4 sevens are 28. He's 28 years old. He's a very fine young man, a very handsome young man, a very good young man. And what do we do about it? He's just a good fellow. Now, is he 28 years old? No. Rex to me is always a puppy. Rex to me is always a lovely little dog that loves to chase his tail. Rex to me is a dog that likes to lie on the floor on his back with his feet up in the air and wiggle, 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 wiggle. We say scratching his back. Well, what he's doing is just wiggling because that's his ways of showing his great joy in life. And as I interpret this and as I direct him, when he's wiggling on his back, I'll go rub his tummy, and he'll just wiggle more and more and more. And when he comes over to me and puts his head on my lap and wants to get his head on top of the table, because it goes up there, and I say, no, no, your head doesn't belong on the table. So then he's sitting with someone else, and he puts his head on the table in front of them, and they don't stop him. And I say, Rex, no, no. And if he doesn't take his head off the table, then I say, sit or lie down. And he sits or lies down, because he knows that that is what he's supposed to do. Now, he may not realize that he's not supposed to put his head on the table in somebody else's lap. He knows he shouldn't do it with me. But the thing is, does he know it with others? Well, the answer is yes. Because whatever behavior he gives to me as his director, he gives to anyone else, because he is trained by me as his director to be whoever it is that he is. We think that we can train another person's dog. Ellen has a dog, a little mini pin, and she likes to feed the mini pin. She likes to take care of him. Well, little Love, the mini pin, was getting a little chunky. And for him, getting a little chunky, he looked just terrible. He was a little pudgy, fat little guy, and he wasn't his normal self. And Ellen was not happy about this. So she began to adjust his diet to fit in with the figure of the dog that she wanted. And she was very careful to maintain that diet and not have anyone give anything extra to the dog, yet some still did when she wasn't looking. And they thought, isn't that cute? She's not here now. I can feed the puppy and I can give him treats. I want to give him treats. Well, they wanted to give themselves treats. They wanted to think how good they are because they're cheating on somebody else. Well, that's just like cheating on another person's man, husband, or wife. You know, it's just cheating is cheating. And you don't do that. You don't do that. If Ellen says, okay, after every meal we give the dog a treat, and here are the treats that we give, and we give him one. And if she's not there and you give him a treat, that's okay. That's in the program. That's how the scene is supposed to be played. But we have to be very careful. How are we going to create animals in our life? Are we going to create them as a reflection of our immortality? Are we going to create them as a reflection of the wholeness and the goodness that we are? Or are we going to look up all the dog illnesses or the illnesses for dogs that we have, the style of dog that we have, and this is the type of thing that they go through, this because of their breeding, this is something they go through. You put that stuff in your mind and then you experience it. You don't have to put it, the vet says, well, if you know about these things, then when you see symptoms of it, you can immediately do something about it. Well, if you see the symptom of your dog or your cat or your pet, your husband, your wife, your children, yourself, if you see the symptom of anything which indicates that imperfection is taking place, you immediately put the right cause in motion. You immediately say, you're whole and perfect. You immediately say, I see you fantastic. Now, when you start putting those causes in motion, then the animal itself is going to see itself fantastic. But if you put the cause in motion, you poor thing, oh, you poor dear, oh, I'm so sorry for you. You see, then that cause goes into motion, and that animal expresses outwardly whatever it is that we are putting into their world. Now, you say, well, that's really not significant. That really is not how it goes. Oh, my, yes, that's just how it goes. That's just how it goes. Any good theater can only have one director. Whether it's the theater of life or whether it's the theater of raising your pet. And the theater of raising my pet is what I want to do. And I get a little tough sometimes with people who go contrary to my desires. And what they do is they keep treats up at the monastery. And they give my pet a treat now and then, which they shouldn't do. And I tell Ellen, who is our cook in the evenings, Sylvia is our cook at breakfast and lunch, and Ingeborg takes care of all the details, and I tell them, look, I want you to make portions of food. And when you cook, cook a portion of food and give a portion to each person. And don't have it be a giant portion, just have it be a satisfying portion. And if they say they don't want certain things, they can push it off their plate before they begin eating and put it on a plate in the middle of the table. And then when the meal is over, you take any food that was cooked and not eaten and you throw it away. You don't feed it to the dogs. You don't keep it as leftovers. You throw it away. Your responsibility, your training, the theater in which I have you, is I want to train you to cook in portions, and to cook in portions that are realistic portions that people really eat. Now, every meal for the past, a long time, Sylvia will take her dinner meal that Ellen provides for her, and she will leave maybe a portion of each food that she has on her plate and not eat it. Just leave it on her plate. Now, that's okay. If you can't eat it, leave it there. You didn't serve it to yourself, somebody else did. But the somebody else should be aware of that, so that they put a little less food on your plate. And as you put a little less food on your plate, then things happen that go away. Things happen that go away. Now, Anita has just walked up to the gate, and she's come to the gate, and she's trying to get Rex's attention. And, of course, Rex goes over and barks, and I say, please don't walk by the house just before breakfast in the morning, because that's when I'm putting my talks on here. But, unfortunately, she does. And so we have a little barking on our recording here. Nothing so serious. But, nonetheless, it's not the theater that I like to have. And Rex is usually very, very good about everything, and he doesn't bark. But Anita was wearing an unusual costume today. Instead of wearing a coat or her usual, she has a cloak over her that is keeping her warm in the cool morning. Yes, raising dogs, raising children, raising families, raising a world, all take a similar action. You have to be definite, you have to be specific. So as I say, I tell Ellen, watch what Sylvia has on her plate, and if she doesn't eat it all, then at the next meal, give her a little less of each of those portions, because apparently that's adequate for her needs. And that is adequate. But you go over to Sylvia's house and you look in her refrigerator at her house and you see lots of little goodies there that she's eating. So really, if she wouldn't eat those things at home, then she would find the meals perfectly well served where she is when she comes to eat at the monastery. But you see, I'm not the absolute director over Sylvia. I'm not the absolute director over anybody else in the world. I am over me, myself, my dog, and my particular world. But of these other things, they have not asked me to be their absolute director. Now, if I were their absolute director, I would insist that they follow the program. I would insist that they do the things that I suggest and find magic in the process. But we don't find magic in the process when we don't have a good director. And if we ourselves are not a good director for our life and our program, then we can be sure that our experience is not going to be as exciting as it could be. It's up to us to decide whether our pets are going to be well-mannered, are going to be in healthy condition all of their life, whether our pets are going to be beautiful and great. So long as I share a pet with others, I cannot have full control over my pet. And my pet will die. My pet will have illnesses. My pet will experience life in an unhappy way. But as long as I am in full control, my pets will express their ideal. My pets will be their magnificent self at all times. Now, what do I want to have out of my pets and out of my world? What I want to have is that my original purity and integrity is expressed in me and my pets. And as I express my original purity and integrity in me and my pets, then our lives are eternally whole and perfect. Our lives are beautiful. Our lives are wonderful. But so long as we live in the world where we allow other people's points of view and expressions and desires to be expressed and to be lived, then we will experience those limitations or unlimited things. So decide today whether you want to be the director of your life, whether you want to be the director of your pet's life, whether you want to be the director of all life. It's your choice. It's your choice. I have a very dear friend, Gertrude. She lives in Emmettingen in Switzerland. And she has a beautiful little puppy, Jack Russell Terrier, and her name is Luna. Well, Luna is a very exceptional dog. Sprightly, bouncy, beautiful. But Luna has one passion, and that passion is to steal. And she takes things from here and there and puts them under the bed. And that's in her stash. That's in her special play box there. If you're missing anything anytime, she's probably taking it away. She's a little pack rat. And one thing that she loves very dearly is chocolate. And if she can ever get a hold of a chocolate bar or chocolate pad, or if people even come in and feed them to her because they know she loves them, then she will have the chocolate syndrome that dogs get. Now, she doesn't have to. She can be totally free of that syndrome. But as time goes on, dogs that eat chocolate do not have the ability to digest it as fully as they could. And so the chocolate could become deleterious to the dog's diet, the dog's body, and the dog's life. Now, we are not putting a cause here in motion about Luna, saying that that's her case. All I'm doing is saying this is the tradition. And so long as Gertrude knows the tradition, then the tradition has validity in her life. If Gertrude were totally immune, unaware to the tradition, if she lived in an ignorance to the tradition, it would have no effect on her. But so long as she lives in awareness of that tradition, now, she can do the unspeakable, unthinkable thing that many people do, and she can go out and write a book. And in the book, she can say, my dog is untouched by chocolate. My dog loves chocolate. My dog's body digests chocolate in its perfect way. I am in awareness of this perfection in my dog, and my dog can eat chocolates all at once, and it has a perfect digestion of that chocolate. Perfect assimilation of that chocolate. Perfect elimination of that chocolate. My dog is an ideal dog. Now, if she were to write a book or tell a story or live in that consciousness, her dog will not be affected by chocolate. And this is really how Gertrude lives. But do you, do I, have the ability to live in that consciousness? Or am I, you, unaware of what chocolate is supposed to do? Now, just as another little game here, science says chocolate is bad for you. It makes you fat. It makes your teeth fall out. It does everything. And now, science has been changing. A few years ago, science said eating chocolate is good for you. One little piece of chocolate every day is good for you. It's good for your digestion. It's good for your eyes. It's good for your complexion. It's good for everything about you. And then, about 2 years after that, they said, no, no, no chocolate, no chocolate. And then 2 years after that, now we're going through a six-year span, 2 years after that, they said, chocolate is excellent. if you're a diabetic and you eat dark chocolate, it's very salubrious for your body, and it takes care of many little areas that you need to have taken care of. If you are ill in any way, chocolate is beneficial to you. If you're healthy, chocolate is very delicious for you, and you should use it. And the darker the chocolate, the better. And you see, we have these people telling us yes, no, yes, no, yes, no about these conditions such as chocolate. Now, what are we to believe? What are we to believe? You look at the modern diet, and they say, yesteryear, you should drink lots of milk. Well, today they say you shouldn't. Yesteryear, they say you should eat lots of eggs and egg yolks and so on. It's good for you. And then recently they said you shouldn't. But now they say you should at least eat one egg with yolk every single day. Now, the science of diet, the science of these things is changing so often that we have to be our own master. We have to be our own director. Can you get a laugh out of the crowd without being irresponsible? Can you get your audience to smile and enjoy your company without being disrespectful? That can be done, you know. It can be done. A good director can do that. A good director knows how to feed food and say to his dog, this is an adequate amount of food. This is perfectly fine. This is perfectly fine. You are 180 pounds. I am not going to feed you to remain 180 pounds. I want you to be 100 pounds, which is your normal weight for your height and length. And so to reduce the weight, you don't just all of a sudden stop feeding him. You can. But you just reduce the amount that he has on a regular basis, and pretty soon he's back to normal. But if you persist in feeding him abundantly, then he will be carrying all that weight around, and he will be having all of the activities that come with it. Oh yes, to be the director of our life is quite a responsible job. To be the director of our life means that we take charge of every single moment. We take charge of every single attitude we have. We take charge of every single thing that we do. Are you ready for that? Am I ready for that? Well, I believe so. I believe so. Life is wonderful, isn't it? I'm ready to be the director of my life. Absolutely. And I am the director of my life, my world, my pets, and my experiences. Join me in this directorship for yourself, and be yourself and have fun. I love you. I love you. I love you.